Mercy and peace be on you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The term is superseded theory. Superseded theory. It means a scientific theory. We think this is what's going on that has been replaced. No, that's not what's going on. The ancient Greeks, for example, thought that the human body was made up of four humors: blood, yellow bile, black bile, and phlegm. Why would you think that? Well, those are the things that you observe coming out of the human body. That's a superseded theory. You know, westward settlement in this country stopped when they reached the tall grass prairie of Illinois. The northern two-thirds of Illinois and almost all of Iowa, except for the bluffs north and south of here, were covered in tall grass. And if you think about the roots of grass, those roots had been woven together over the generations, and it was hard to get a plow through. Of course, John Deere solved that problem in 1836 with his polished steel plow. Up to then, from the East Coast on, they had been chopping down trees, a lot of trees between here and the East Coast, chopping down trees. They'd clear the field, then they'd plow, then they'd grow crops. And the science said that if the land can't support trees, then it can't support crops. Probably there's not enough rain. Maybe it's the soil. That actually would have been considered settled science. You may be familiar with the term. And then somebody stuck a plow into the ground, planted stuff, and it grew. A new hypothesis came about. And that hypothesis that became a law: rain follows the plow. If you plow it, the rain comes. And I don't know what the youngsters are thinking. Pastor's talking about a plow. What's a plow? Nobody questioned it. And they plowed their way all the way to the western end of Nebraska, and look, the rain follows. What were they thinking? Well, they were thinking that trees don't grow in Iowa. Why? Must be poor soil, rainfall. But when we plow, it rains and the crops grow. Now, that science was superseded by the Dust Bowl. Superseded theories. If you look at the list on the internet, there have been a lot of theories that have been superseded in science. And there Jesus goes again telling stories. Says at the end of the text, he didn't say anything about telling a story. Now he's comparing the kingdom of God to... You may know the man in this parable. The kingdom of God is like if a man should scatter seed on the ground. The professionals, I think, plant. They make a hole, corn and beans, and gardeners, they plant flowers and vegetables. I sow grass in my yard and sometimes in my pasture, spread it on the surface. That's what the man's doing in the store. He was doing that with the expectation, same one that you and I have. We sow and we plant because we think those seeds are going to grow. That's why you plant or sow. And usually it does. And it does for this man. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? How does that work? He doesn't know how. That's what it says in the text. He doesn't know how. And at this point, I refer you to the sermon I preached on this text 3 years ago, probably 6 years ago, in the 90s. I asked a scientist from Pioneer in Des Moines, how does that work? How does the seed grow? Well, you put it in the ground, it grows. Yeah, what's going on there? Put it in the ground, it grows. A few years later, the new millennium, maybe we know more. So I talked to a guy from Pioneer in Princeton, Illinois. Put it in the ground and it grows. Yeah, talk to me about that. You put it in the ground. So I went to the internet, that treasure trove of all knowledge, and to paraphrase the internet, you put it into the ground and it grows. Here's the actual explanation from Analytical Biological Services, ABS. Quote, isn't it amazing that a tree as tall as a building can emerge from just a tiny seed? Mother Nature is brilliant and knows exactly when the seed is ready to go. Mother Nature. Yeah, looking at his creation, and we did some of that this week, God is both brilliant and amazing. If you look at the list of superseded theories on the internet, a lot of theories have been replaced with other theories, only to be replaced with yet others. The atomic theory, for example, has gone through several renditions, started with the ancient Greeks. That word atom is a Greek word that means can't be divided. But then we found out, I think there was the plum pudding model, and was it the Rutherford model? And then we found out that the atom can be divided, separated into protons, neutrons, electrons. There's a lot of atoms out there. A lot of atoms. Mike, you know how many atoms are in my fingernail? Billions. And there's a lot more out there than my fingernail. God uses those atoms like we use Legos and Lincoln Logs and cinder blocks and concrete. And you know, there's a reason why they call it the Big Bang Theory. It's not a very good theory. And it goes against the second law of thermodynamics. And there's a reason why they call it the theory of evolution. And it's a horrible theory, a damaging theory. You know, without even thinking about it, we all hypothesize all the time. We observe things and we try to figure out what's going on and we come up with our theories. We ride the bike trails over behind Deer Harvester. There's a big parking lot there where they put the combines. We observed, I think it was last spring, that there were no combines out back in the parking lot at Harvester East Moines. What's going on? And I wonder, that young man at Clarence, the one with the silver face and the brown rings around his eyes, what do you suppose is going on there? It actually had nothing to do with the strike. And it's not that everybody already has a combine who wants one. They were doing some construction. They got a nicer parking lot with no more bells and whistles over there now. Going back about 1,000 years, people thought that living things could just happen from dead things. Again, to quote the internet, it was hypothesized that certain life forms, such as fleas, could arise from inanimate matter such as dust, or that living maggots could arise from dead flesh. Why would you think that? You just wrap that cheese or bread in a cloth and leave it on the counter for a couple weeks. Observe, look, mice. And if you don't have cheese or bread, mice would often spontaneously generate from dirty clothes. It was called the theory of spontaneous generation, that living things can come from non-living things. This stone I'm holding in my hand may become a cow. You know, these ancient Greeks, they knew about the brain, they knew about logic, and they knew about, we call it deductive reasoning, logic. There are things you know to be true. You put those truths together, you come up with another truth. And kind of the classic is the first premise, all men are mortal, true. Socrates is a man, true. Therefore, Socrates is mortal, true. That was the ancient Greeks. But they didn't do science. It was the Christians who invented science, who invented, we call it inductive reasoning or logic. Inductive. We call it the scientific method using observation, experimentation, to develop hypotheses, theories, and laws. That's all a Christian invention. Name a pioneer of early scientific discovery, and you will be naming a Christian. The Frenchman, Louis Pasteur, a Christian. Pasteurization is named after him. He disproved the theory of spontaneous combustion. No, that's not how it works. That stone in your hand will never become a cow or a giraffe. And even talking about that's kind of silly, isn't it? But if you put a seed into the ground, good seed, it may be dormant, but it's not dead. It's alive, and you know that because the seed brings forth a living plant. It's expected, it's almost routine. So if you go back and look at the beginning of chapter 4 of Mark, Jesus tells the very familiar story, the very familiar parable of the sower and the seed. Remember that the man sows the same seed, and some of it takes, the seed is living, some of it takes for a time, some of it for more time, some of the seed comes to fruition in the story Jesus tells. The seed that is alive and is planted is, Mark says, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. In that parable, earlier in this chapter, the seed is the word of God. And I think that maybe we need to understand just how new and profound that very basic truth taught by the Pope, so the parable of the sower, how profound that was for that time and place. That's the way it would happen. The idea that a kingdom of God, a religion, would grow by means of the preached word, like seed sown on the ground. Who comes up with this stuff? Who comes up with this stuff? Everybody knew, you might call it settled theology, that if you want to grow a religion, you do that by force of arms, by conquering, and by enforcing civil law. And it's easy to see how a religion would grow like that. You conquer a place and you force them to adopt your religion. You maybe add some of their pagan gods to yours, but the newly conquered will numerically grow your religion. That guy over in the Middle East in the 8th century, 7th century, tried to grow his new religion by proclaiming the teachings of his false god. Didn't work. Tried to imitate the Christians. Didn't work. But he found that violence and terror work well. Still do. Christianity is the only religion I know of who gain numbers simply by man proclaiming words from God. It's the only way we make gains. And with a few exceptions, it's the one we have consistently been employing for about 2 millennia. And the question is how that works. You proclaim the word and the thing grows. Exactly how does such a thing take place anyway? It's the way Jesus got his followers. And he refused to gather an army and take up arms to enforce Christianity like the rest of the religions were doing. The message was that this religion was going to advance in a way not like the rest of them. And on Pentecost Sunday, 3,000 converts, Luke tells us in Acts 2:41, they were converted by means of the preached word from the lips of Peter and the rest of the 12 speaking in their own language. like we do in mission work today. Later on, Peter and John were arrested for preaching about Jesus. Shortly after that, in chapter 4, verse 4, Luke tells us 5,000 men, about 50,000 total, quote, heard the word and believed. No force of arms, no swords. They heard the word and believed. How does that happen? There is no coercion, no bribery, no anything of the sort. In fact, Jesus was on the record that a Christian would entail, being a Christian would entail suffering and may well mean death. And it's truly a remarkable thing that the preaching of God's word brings about a change not only in the mind of the hearers, but to our very souls. The word is like a hammer, Jeremiah said. It is, the writer to the Hebrews says, sharper than a two-edged sword. And a sword was as sharp as an auger that's seen a lot of grain. Cutting to the chase of man's inmost being, not just the periphery like the other religions. Kind of stay on the periphery. Do this, don't do that, you'll be good. Conversion to Christianity makes a man a new man, and we all are. And we observe that happening all the time. We can see that happening in children. We can see that happening in ourselves, the Word of God doing that. How does the Word do that? Just does. Put it into a man's ear, produces Christians. I wonder if the Corinthians were complaining to Paul about their numbers. That happens sometimes. Paul pointed out, I planted the word, Apollos watered, and God gave the growth. How does that work? By simply using words to proclaim ideas, put it into their ear. You may have heard that there was an astronaut spotted in Grand Mound this past week. Seemed to be hanging around the Lutheran church quite a bit. Upon further examination, that was not a real astronaut. And one of the moms let the cat out of the bag on the first day. That's not a real astronaut. Some guy dressing up like one. That guy helped out. A lot of people helped out at VBS this week. Thank you for your help. It's a great week. Including an actual scientist, and we talked some science, including some superseded theories in science, like the geocentric universe, the idea that the Earth is at the center, and the planets and stars and sun revolve around the Earth, and that was pretty much settled science. Why would they think that? Well, when you're standing on the Earth, we clearly are not moving. Or are you? But there is movement, including the sun rising and the sun setting. Sun must be moving. And then a bunch of people developed a telescope, and a Polish Christian named Nicholas Copernicus, contemporary of the German Martin Luther, observed what's going on out there with the telescope, and his theory of a heliocentric sun at the center of the universe. It's a great time doing science in VBS. The scientist had one child with a flashlight in the center. That was the sun. Another with the Earth, and then the Earth's moon rotating around the sun while the Earth, the globe, moved around the sun. And it was a little bit chaotic out there, a little bit chaotic. It's what space would be like without. How does that work? How do the planets, the stars, the moon, they do not go crashing into one another, and the movements of the celestial bodies are actually very orderly, even predictable. If you miss the eclipse, the full eclipse of the sun, it'll be back in 2024. We know that because the planets and the sun are very predictable. And the internet says about that, the planets all seeming to know where they're supposed to be. Must be some cosmic intelligence to police the planets. Some cosmic intelligence. You mean God? Mother Nature. You mean God? You may know that I recently concluded that when I say that we strive to teach the Bible correctly in its truth and purity, I know that may sound a little bit pompous, but not many churches are actually shooting for that. They say they care what the Bible says, but upon further examination, I saw a church called the Reality Church on the internet. It just kind of came up. I wonder what that's like, the Reality Church. So I clicked on it, and there's a guy dressed in California casual. He's up on the stage, and for 10 minutes, he would have been thanking everybody who helped in every way in Vacation Bible School this week, including those who baked the cookies, including those who made the flour to bake the cookies. He wasn't striving to preach the Word of God in its truth and purity. I'm starting to believe it's the same way with logic and human reason. Everybody says they think logically and use human reason. Really? But you call it cosmic intelligence. But you talk about those scientific terms, cosmic intelligence and Mother Nature. But not God. But not God. Are we Christians the only ones who still actually use reason? Who still actually think logically? And I know some of you are with me on that. I'm thinking that in fact, maybe we aren't the ones who are nuts. Those people who think there was a big explosion. Second law of thermodynamics is still there. So Jesus concludes his talk about seeds growing by turning our attention to the mustard seed, which is very small. Think of Boche's mustard. Boche was a good Lutheran. I knew his son Charlie. Boche's mustard, those little seeds, which when sown upon the ground is very small. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all bushes and puts forth large branches so that the birds can nest in it. How does that happen? Yeah, from those humble beginnings, Luke counts 120 in that open room on Pentecost, at 3,000 that day, at 50,000 a little bit later, and today, one more quotation from the internet, June 2024, Christianity is the world's largest religion with an estimated 2.4 billion followers, making up 31.2% of the world's populations. Christians are the majority in 157 countries and territories, and the religion is the primary religion in the Americas, Europe, Oceania, and Sub-Saharan Africa. If you think you're the only one who's a Christian, you're not. All those Christians, that big bush from that little tree, how does that happen? One seed at a time. That's how that works. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for prayer.